Let's read together Numbers chapter 36. In this last chapter of the book of Numbers, an additional question came up concerning Zelophehad's daughters and their right to inherit family property. Numbers chapter 36, beginning at verse 1. Now the chief fathers of the families of the children of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Joseph, came near and spoke before Moses and before the leaders, the chief fathers of the children of Israel. And they said, "The Lord commanded my lord Moses to give the land as an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. And my lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of our brother Zelophehad to his daughters. Now if they are married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the children of Israel, then their inheritance will be taken from the inheritance of our fathers, and it will be added to the inheritance of the tribe into which they marry. So it will be taken from the lot of our inheritance. And when the jubilee of the children of Israel comes, then their inheritance will be added to the inheritance of the tribe into which they marry. So the inheritance will be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers." Then Moses commanded the children of Israel according to the word of the Lord, saying, "What the tribe of the sons of Joseph speaks is right. This is what the Lord commands concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry whom they think best, but they may marry only within the family of their father's tribe. So the inheritance of the children of Israel shall not change hands from tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel shall keep the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And every daughter who possesses an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be the wife of one of the family of her father's tribe, so that the children of Israel each may possess the inheritance of his fathers. Thus no inheritance shall change hands from one tribe to another, but every tribe of the children of Israel shall keep its own inheritance. Just as the Lord commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. For Mahlah, Tirzah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, were married to the sons of their father's brothers. They were married into the families of the children of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in the tribe of their father's family. These are the commandments and the judgments which the Lord commanded the children of Israel by the hand of Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. Let's begin our study this evening with some background notes. In verse 13, the last verse of this chapter, we have a summary of all God's laws and commandments given to the children of Israel on the plains of Moab before they crossed the Jordan and conquered Jericho. Now, do you remember? The book of Numbers started in the wilderness of Sinai in the second year after the Exodus. Numbers 1, verse 1. Let me just read that. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of meeting on the first day of the second month in the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt. So the book of Numbers started in the wilderness of Sinai in the second year after the Exodus. Now a total of 40 years has gone by, and the children of Israel are on the plains of Moab opposite Jericho. So verse 13 here is a summary verse for the last section of the book of Numbers from chapter 22 on. We read in chapter 22, verse 1, "Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho." During the 40 years wandering of the children of Israel that's covered in the book of Numbers, a whole generation died off because of unbelief. We've seen a lot of lessons in the book of Numbers that apply to God's people today. The sins of the wilderness, which included complaining and criticism and rebellion and contempt of God's leaders and unbelief of God's promises, all resulted in discipline and loss of blessing. In the same way, when we commit these same sins, we will lose out on the spiritual blessings that God has for his people, and we will experience God's hand of discipline. Let's learn the lessons of the book of Numbers so that we don't spend our lives wandering in the wilderness of Christian experience, losing out on all the spiritual blessings that God has for us because he has to discipline us. Now, on the positive side, of course, we see God's grace written all over the book of Numbers. God graciously provided for his people every day of their travels, and God graciously guided his people every step of the way. Remember the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Remember the manna provided each day, in spite of their lack of faith and in spite of their sins in the wilderness. And God has not changed his ways with his people today. Our Heavenly Father graciously deals with us as his children. Even his discipline is with grace for our future blessing. Now here in the last chapter of Numbers, the new generation of the children of Israel is ready to cross over into the land. They're camped on the plains of Moab, opposite Jericho. But before they cross over, a last-minute question comes up concerning the tribal division of the land in reference to property inherited by married women. And that brings us to our teaching points for this last chapter of Numbers. So doctrinal or teaching point number one, the women of Israel would inherit family property if they had no brothers. The women of Israel would inherit family property if they had no brothers. Back in Numbers chapter 27, remember, we saw that a man named Zelophehad from the tribe of Manasseh had no sons, but he had five daughters. So the daughters raised the logical question of whether they would inherit their father's portion of the tribal territory of Manasseh when they entered the land. The answer was yes. I'm reading Numbers chapter 27, verses 6 through 8. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "The daughters of Zelophehad speak what is right. You shall surely give them a possession of inheritance among their father's brothers, and cause the inheritance of their father to pass to them. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a man dies and has no son, then you shall cause his inheritance to pass to his daughter." Numbers 27, 6 through 8. So we see that God not only listens to the logic of his people, but furthermore, God in no way can be labeled a male chauvinist as some critics label God today. We saw those lessons back in Numbers chapter 27. There was no reason why women could not inherit property in the land if the father had no sons. Normally, property was passed down to a man's sons in order to keep the property in the family name. But when there were no sons, the property went to the daughters. Even if the daughters were married and moved onto the property of her husband's family, she still was entitled to inherit her own father's land. So that's teaching point number one for this chapter. The women of Israel would inherit family property if they had no brothers. But now an additional question was raised about the property that was inherited by the women of Israel. And that brings us to doctrinal point number two, which is the women of Israel would inherit family property if they married within their tribe. The women of Israel would inherit family property if they married within their tribe. This additional question that was raised concerning Zelophehad's daughters as well as other unmarried women in Israel was this. What happened to the inherited property if the women married men from a different tribe in Israel? After all, some intermarriage between the tribes had already taken place in their 40-year wilderness travels when the tribes were all camped close together, but no property was involved. Now when they entered and possessed the land, what would happen to the tribal territories in years to come if women with inherited property married outside the tribe? Would the land go with her and become part of the property of her husband? Well, I think you can see all the potential problems. Some tribes would gain more land, some tribes would lose land, and eventually the tribal territories would be like a patchwork quilt with very few contiguous tribal properties. Everybody see that? Furthermore, verse 4, what would happen to the property at the time of Jubilee, which came every 50 years, when the land was to be returned to its original owners, according to Leviticus chapter 25? Would the land return to the tribe of her father, or would the land stay with the tribe of her husband? The Lord's logical answer to these logical questions is contained in verses 6 through 9. Let's read those verses once again. This is what the Lord commands concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, "Let them marry whom they think best, but they may marry only within the family of their father's tribe. So the inheritance of the children of Israel shall not change hands from tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel shall keep the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And every daughter who possesses an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be the wife of one of the family of her father's tribe, so that the children of Israel each may possess the inheritance of his fathers. Thus no inheritance shall change hands from one tribe to another, but every tribe of the children of Israel shall keep its own inheritance." The women of Israel could marry anyone they wished. Verse 6. Notice, by the way, that even with arranged marriages in that culture, the women did have a say as to whom they married. However, in order to keep the tribal territories intact, if the women were in line to inherit family property, they had to marry within the tribe in order to keep the property. I think you can see this principle here, freedom within limits, which we see in a number of other places in the Bible. Now, I don't know whether any of these unmarried women took the attitude of land for a man in order to get the husband they wanted, but you can be sure that there would be a lot of guys interested in marrying a woman who was going to inherit property. In any case, the women of Israel would inherit family property if they married within their tribe. Now, what about practical application for Numbers chapter 36? Let's practice the faith and obedience of Zelophehad's daughters. Verses 10 and 11, once again. "Just as the Lord commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. For Mahla, Tirzah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, were married to the sons of their father's brothers." We see in verses 10 and 11 that all five daughters of Zelophehad decided to keep their inherited property and submitted to the law and married within the tribe. They didn't complain or say it wasn't fair. No, they obeyed. We see from verse 11 that they married their cousins. This is not incest, by the way. They are married. Incest is fornication between close relatives, not marriage. Not marriage between close relatives. Now, there are reasons why we don't practice marriage between close relatives today, but marriage between close relatives is not incest. So we see obedience on the part of Zelophehad's daughters. Now, what about their faith? Where do we see their faith? Zelophehad's daughters believed by faith that Israel would conquer and possess the land as God had promised. Remember, they are still on the plains of Moab. But these women are trusting the Lord concerning their future inheritance and obeying the Lord, even in the matter of their marriages. You see the practical application for us? Do we really believe the promises of the Lord concerning our future inheritance? Do we obey the Lord's commands in all areas of our lives? Let's practice the faith and obedience of Zelophehad's daughters.